Hi, I'm one of the High Priests of Khonshu Rey, and I have the sacred privilege of providing you, the Loony Listener, with a podcast honouring Marvel's very own Moon Knight. So join me and a host of others at Into the Night, a Moon Knight podcast. Follow us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram, or support the show by becoming a Patreon member. Into the Night, a Moon Knight podcast. It's time to get your Khonshu on.
Hello, I'm Alan.
I'm Rebecca.
And you're listening to the DCAU podcast. This week we are covering the Lego Batman movie.
Hurrah!
Yes, that one.
Finally.
Finally, that one. Yeah. Yeah, this is one we've been kind of... This was like an early one. Oh, yeah, we're doing this one.
Yeah, basically Alan's been dangling it like a carrot. Like, we just have to get through a few that you won't like, and then it's Lego Batman.
So, I think in every major aspect, this is the highest drawing the highest drawing film. I don't know that this is necessarily the highest rated on, like, Rotten Tomatoes or IMDb, but it's certainly going to be up there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, because it's beloved.
Yeah, absolutely. I don't know, is this a sequel or not to the Lego movie?
I don't think it is.
Yeah, it's
in the same universe.
Yeah.
But I don't think, it's not really a sequel, because there's none of the same character. I mean, I guess Batman's in the Lego movie, but yeah. Not substantially.
Aye. So, yeah, so... I've just had a problem with notes for some reason have disappeared, so I'm just trying to get them back.
No notes.
Oh. No, don't do that now, because now I know you can take them.
Yeah, but I didn't take any for this, I'm afraid. I watched it while I was working.
Fair enough.
Which is why...
Fair enough. Okay, I'm not offended that you care about Moon Knight more than my podcast.
I was teasing Alan. For anyone who doesn't know that, like, the first time ever I made notes when I watched Moon Knight.
Yeah.
But then having said that, I read my notes back for episode 2. We were lucky to get a screener, so we've seen the first few episodes. So I was looking back at my notes for episode 2. There are some things in there that I have no idea what they mean. They're like literally a random word, and it's just like, okay.
Yeah.
I hope when I watch it again, it makes sense.
Absolutely.
And I'll be like, oh, that's why I wrote that down.
So, this movie is a companion piece, we'll call it, to the Lego movie. Will Arnett's back as Batman. Hank Channing Tatum plays Superman in both of them.
Oh, nice.
So, and also Billy Dee Williams plays Two-Face in this, which is
nice.
In two ways is a reference. Firstly, he played the character in the Lego movie, and also he was the original pick to play Two-Face in the Burton films.
So it's a nice thing.
I remember noting this down specifically, so I remembered this. We also have Zoe Kravitz playing Catwoman,
mm-hmm.
which someone obviously thought that was a good idea.
Yeah.
And actually, this is the Rebecca. This is the first time we've recorded a podcast since we've both seen.
I have now seen
Batman.
It. So, I think I said it on the last recording that I was going to see it that day or the next day. So, we have both seen the Batman.
Yep, and
2022.
I do find it hilarious that surrounding the Batman, we have Batman Return of the Caped Crusaders and the Lego Batman movie, which are the two most not the Batman movies I could think of.
Yeah, but it shows that it shows the character has range. It doesn't always have to be grim, dark, grumpy.
Yep.
And emo. I mean, and that's not a criticism of the Batman. I enjoyed it very much. But I did not fall in love with that version of Batman. I fell in love with the light-hearted version of Batman.
Which is interesting, because I'm the opposite. it really reminds me of the Arkham Batman, which is my favorite.
Yeah, Batman. I mean, so it's, I still loved it. I'm just saying, like, I just Batman to me encompasses that range.
And that's what I do find quite incredible, actually. I mean, it's, there are so many heroes that when people, if, look, people have tried either to have a more fun version of a gritty character, which doesn't really work, or have a really grit, you know, a really gritty version of a fun character, and it really doesn't work. Fantastic Four, for example. Mm-hmm. So it's, I do think it's incredible that, okay, it maybe shows an over-reliance on the character, but it is incredible that you have one character that has
I kind of agree with you, but I also kind of disagree, because there's not many characters that have had the history of Batman to be able to establish that.
That is the problem, is
And that's most people's issues with Batman. It's not Batman per se, it's that it's like this big hole that no one else can break out of while you have Batman. Which is fair enough, because he sells. So it's just like, you know, it's this kind of like weird,
it's the perpetual thing, isn't it? Batman sells, so no one else gets a shot, which means Batman's the only one that sells.
Yes, exactly that. And like, I don't have an issue with it. That's just a fact of life. I mean, I would like Superman to have the same cachet. And in comics, I think, like, to a certain extent, he does. But, yeah. Like, I don't know why people have got it in their head that, like, good characters...
Well, it's the Wolverine problem as well. That X-Men never... really, the X-Men franchise that Fox ran never really got over their dependence on Wolverine.
Well, I mean, that's true to a certain extent. I mean, definitely true with Spider-Man. He gets chucked into everything to try and make it sell better. And Wolverine does, but I mean, I think some people are just X-Men fans. Like, for you and me, who maybe not, like, the X-Men isn't necessarily our thing. Like, I love the X-Men, don't get me wrong. And Wolverine certainly wouldn't make me, but for some people, he's that entry to it. So he also gets chucked in a lot to sort of bump up sales.
I was meaning specifically the films, though. It's kind of, they really have difficult... Look, I think it's... I can only think of... two of the X-Men movies outside the kind of spin-offs that didn't have Wolverine be a major focus at some point. Anyway, even to the detriment of really lowering Kitty Pryde's role in a particular famous story.
I didn't mind what they did to that, like, though, because, you know, I didn't mind that. I just, we'll see. We'll see what happens.
I don't know. I'm an Elliot Page fanboy. That probably doesn't help.
Oh, I love Elliot Page, but like, I don't like Kitty Pryde. I'm a little bit like, I don't really care if we don't see Kitty Pryde.
Yeah.
But you know, the actor, great.
Yeah, absolutely. Anyway, we should actually probably talk about the film, because there's a lot to talk about.
Yes.
This is also, of the actual films we're covering, this is the longest film we're doing.
Right.
A chunk, because this is 104 minutes.
It is quite
minutes,
long, yeah.
Which you forget. I mean, I forgot how long this is. Like, it wasn't until at the start I was like, oh, this is actually quite long. And then we had about 20 minutes. I was like, oh, wow. It flies, though. So... we have Batman's. We start with Batman commentating over the logos.
Yeah, which is quite funny, but a little bit.
Yeah. And then the very opening of the film is Joker hijacking a plane.
Mm-hmm.
And immediately the pilot's like, well, you're going to lose.
Yeah.
And also, we have poor Jeff being attacked by several villains. We have all the villains are teaming up with Joker.
Yeah, every single villain,
including ones that we've not, that
No one's ever seen before. No, I'm kidding. They're in the comics.
Well, in this podcast. In fact, this is the first time I've seen this film since watching The Suicide Squad, and I was like, oh yeah, I forgot this is the first time I saw Polka Dot Man.
Oh, yeah, yeah. We next need Condiment King.
Oh, absolutely. We do need a Condiment King movie. It's even down... Now, also, it appears that in this particular universe, all cops are lazy. As opposed to... Well, there's another phrase I've heard used starting that. But in this particular version, the cops have one job, which is to activate the bat signal.
Yeah, well, that's probably better than what they could be doing.
Yeah, let's move on quickly. Because we could talk for 13, maybe 12 minutes on this. The plan is that Joker is going to set off a bomb which will destroy the table underneath their world. Mm-hmm. Which I do like. It maybe indicates that no, this is still taking place in the Lego universe on a table, and
yeah.
So the mayor, who is voiced by Mariah Carey,
which is great.
Is lowered down into the power station, but it turns out to be Batman in disguise.
Da, da, da. He does a good accent.
Yes, apparently so. And then we get a 3-minute musical montage where Batman defeats all the villains apart from Joker.
Yeah.
And that's when I was on board.
It's great.
Seeing it in the cinema, just like, oh, okay, yep. Then it turns out that this is the meanest Batman we've seen.
He's pretty mean, yeah. Not so emo, just he's enjoying being mean.
Yeah, because... So, it ends up... It's just Batman and Joker. Batman catches Joker, and Joker's like... Well, now you've got to either let your greatest enemy escape, or release the bomb. And he goes, you're not my greatest enemy.
Yeah, it's so cute.
I like this idea of Joker and Batman are in a relationship.
I mean, they toyed with that with the deleted scene from the Batman.
Yeah, that was like made 4 years later, to be fair.
Yeah, but it's also in the comics. I mean, this isn't a new idea from Lego Batman.
Mm-hmm.
Like, this is... Like, there are comics that portray it very much codependent.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, it's behind the whole why he won't kill Joker and stuff like that, is that, you know... But it's played for laughs here. And it's much more sort of like, oh no, you don't love me.
And yeah, it is at... Well, it's... And look, Joker actually gets really hurt.
Yeah.
So Batman's able to successfully stop the bomb, celebrates with the city, celebrates with some orphans. This Batman does use a gun. A merchandise gun.
Of course.
Because that type of gun is acceptable.
I mean, it's also Lego, so...
Yeah.
I mean, you're not seeing any actual damage.
Mm-hmm. And... Then he comes home to his loving computer.
Mm-hmm.
And his enormous bat cave.
Well, he needs space.
Yeah.
For all his bat vehicles.
All his bat vehicles, all his relics.
Mm-hmm.
And Alfred is grouting right now. What? Is there anything Alfred doesn't do?
No.
And then we find out just how much of a monster this Batman is. After putting on a dressing gown and keeping the mask, he microwaves a lobster.
Well, he heats it up. I mean, it's already cooked, right?
Yeah.
I mean, like, look, he's a heathen. Like, basically. Not that I would eat. I don't eat lobster, so... He can ruin it as far as I'm concerned.
And then his hobby is watching romantic movies to laugh at them.
You know, he's a sad, lonely man who needs a family.
And when he does have family, he kicks them into a piano.
Yeah.
I do love his, I can never say his name. Ranulf Fiennes? No, not Ranulf.
Ranulf Fiennes.
Yeah.
There's two different ones, isn't there?
Voldemort.
Rafe. Is it Rafe?
Rafe Fiennes.
Yeah, I think so.
So.
Yeah, it's Rafe Fiennes. Sorry.
Who plays Alfred in this film and is fabulous as.
He is, as you would expect.
Though it does make it really weird when Eddie Izzard's playing Voldemort later.
Yeah, his dad's Ranulf, so there is a...
Ah, okay.
Yeah.
Oh, are they actually related? I know, okay.
I think so. I think it's his dad. It's a question for another day.
Yeah.
So, you know, like, if I'm wrong, people can write in and tell us.
Yeah. So, Alfred wants Bruce to socialise more.
I mean, don't we all?
And eventually is able to convince him to go to Jim Gordon's retirement party because then they'll have a tuxedo dress-up montage first.
Which is great. Uh-huh. Because you have to reference as many of these silly things as you can.
Absolutely.
Which is pretty great, actually.
So... Batman has to be told, oh yeah, also you forgot to take off your mask.
Mm-hmm.
Though, isn't Batman's Bruce Wayne persona the real mask? No, it's not. Shut up. So, meanwhile, Superman gets interviewed about sending Zod to the Phantom Zone, which is the last time that we see Zod at all.
Yeah.
Which is weird, as how much of this film takes place in the Phantom Zone.
Yeah, quite a lot, actually. We get to see a fair bit of it.
And also, Joker is watching the same interview, whilst having a go all the villains surrounding him. No, I need better minions.
Mm-hmm.
And...
Which is true,
which is true. So... Yeah, Joker gets inspired by this interview as well. And we introduce ourselves to Dick Grayson, who's played by Michael Cera in this particular film.
Yes, he's adorable.
He's a part of the orphanage choir, and he wants advice from Bruce Wayne about how to get adopted, which is a weird choice.
Yeah, but it's cute.
Unfortunately, Bruce Wayne is too distracted because Barbara Gordon shows up.
Yeah, that's a bit weird. Don't like that. It's a bit creepy.
It's weird and creepy in terms of, yeah, he's instantly like, at the start, it's like, oh no, he really, really fancies her. I mean, at least it's implied that she is a proper adult.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, she's been made the new police commissioner.
Yeah.
So, at least it's a little bit more age-appropriate.
Yeah, oh yeah, yeah. It's not an age-appropriate thing. It's just that we're not used to seeing them as a couple, so...
Mm-hmm.
That feels kind of weird.
Yeah. So... Yeah. Barbara Gordon is becoming the new police commissioner.
Mm-hmm.
She apparently has cleaned up Bloodhaven. Which is disturbing since Dick Grayson's not had a chance to do it yet.
Yeah, that is funny.
And, yeah, so... It's weird. She doesn't think they need Batman, but she wants to work with him.
Yeah.
It's gonna...
It is weird.
I don't get... So is she wanting to hire him?
I guess.
Anyway. So, unfortunately, the ceremony gets interrupted by Joker. Who then... hands himself over to the new police commissioner, as well as all his minions as well.
Yeah.
Which is news to his minions.
Yes. Which is funny.
Absolutely. So, also at this point, Batman keeps on over, like, talking over and stepping in front of Barbara Gordon. Because he is. This Batman is, I do like that they make that, no, Batman is not a good guy.
Yeah, but he's, it's like, it's, yeah, it's weird. It's not like he's a bad guy.
Mm-hmm.
He's just a guy.
Yeah. So, we then get, also, Batman randomly attacks Bane for no reason.
Yeah. Generational trauma.
Yeah. I don't know, maybe he's back itched.
Yeah.
So, we get a scene where Batman is feeling left out and excluded because he can't punch criminals anymore. And Commissioner Gordon's getting all the credit. And
yeah.
And apart from the rioting by celebrating the fact that there's no more crime.
Yeah, it's all sorted.
Yep, it's all sorted. We're, what, half an hour into the film?
Yeah.
And all crime is fixed. Hooray.
Good for Gotham.
And Batman eventually gets caught trying to watch Arkham.
Which is weird as well.
And, yeah, apparently this version of Barbara Gordon has super hearing.
Well, why not?
Though, I do like that Harley's job is to use her psychologist skills to plant a suggestion into Batman's head about what to do with Joker.
Yeah. It's, I mean, obviously the answer is kill him, but, you know, not in this film.
It's a Lego movie, we can't do that.
And he's kind of cute in this one. If he has, like, sharp, pointy teeth.
It's subtle as a Lego brick, but because then it's something like Phantom Zone Cleaning or something weird like that. But so Batman goes to steal the Phantom Zone projector from Superman, but he can't because Alfred has put a lock on the computer because he wants Batman to be a dad.
Which he should be, especially as this orphan light zooming around the house.
Yeah, because at no point did Bruce Wayne notice that he had actually adopted an orphan. And then he's horrible to Alfred.
He's horrible to Alfred. He's horrible to everyone.
Yeah, but I want to slap this bat. When he's like, no, Batman.
To be honest, in The Batman, he was pretty horrible to Alfred too.
Yes, no, absolutely. I wanted to slap him there as well.
Yeah, so I'm just saying.
Actually, no, this is a bad week to suggest slapping anyone. Sorry.
Sorry, by the time this comes out, everyone will have forgotten that slap.
Oh, probably. Right, just to make this clear, we're recording this the week after the Oscars. It doesn't matter how much of a Richard Grayson someone is, you don't have permission to hit them.
I'm making no comment. I didn't pay any attention to the Oscars whatsoever this year.
Lady Gaga's too good for this world. Other than that... Yeah, so Batman eventually does. So Dick Grayson is let into the Batcave accidentally by Alfred. Batman tries to convince Dick Grayson successfully that he is co-adopting.
Yeah,
which isn't a complete lie. And then he realizes, I need someone who's small and expendable.
Yeah, I need somebody small who can fit in this space so we can break into where we need to break into. And oh, look, there's an orphan.
There's an orphan who's completely expendable.
This is how Batman gets his orphans.
I mean, to be fair, that's not inaccurate.
I mean, it is, because, like, well, it's inaccurate to how he gets Dick Grayson.
Yeah,
because,
yeah.
You know, like, he feels bad for him. But, like, you know, we'll come to that later. But in this case, it is quite funny and definitely in keeping with the Batman characterization we've seen.
So, Dick Grayson gets a suit, which is a Reggie Man suit.
That he has to rip the pants off. By pants, we mean the American.
The American term of pants, trousers.
Yes.
So Batman goes to fly off, forgets that he didn't fit a seatbelt.
Yeah, because why would he need one? He runs in danger.
And also, he works alone. And speaking of alone, we go to the Fortress of Solitude.
Yeah, because it's very solitude-y.
No, yeah,
that's where he needs to get his things on.
Absolutely. So Batman goes in and goes, well, Superman's a hero like me, so he'll be alone, except that there's a party.
It's a Justice League party as well.
And Batman didn't invite
him. Why didn't they invite him? Would you invite him? He's a grumptastic.
That is one thing that's not quite clear in this universe. How old is the DC universe and how old's Batman at this point? Well, it's implied he's all versions of Batman existed, including the Adam West Batman, Tim Burton Batman. Well, it's implied that this is all the same Batman since, is it 19?
Is it, though? Is that implied?
Well, they even stuff like, oh, Batman's been around, you know, and they flash back to, 90s Batman.
Oh, yeah, 60. Yeah, they do, yeah.
Well, it is kind of implied that, yeah, he's been Batman since the 30s.
Yeah, but maybe they've invited him before and he's always said no. I mean,
also, I think it's the 57th anniversary of the Justice League as well.
Yeah, yeah, so he's been around a while. So they've all been around a while. It's Lego.
Yeah, absolutely. Plus, it allows them to get references into. You get lots of stuff that's hero shots from the various other films.
Yeah, which is nice. I like that.
So, Dick Grayson is able to successfully get to the projector with help from Batman. And Batman doesn't realise that he has pride for someone else's achievements. He assumes he's just proud of himself for being a good teacher.
Which is, yeah, I mean, yeah, he's Batman. He's not a good person.
Absolutely not. So, Batman and Robin then have to break into Arkham. And that doesn't last long.
No, it really doesn't.
So Batman then breaks his way into Arkham with Robin to confront Joker. He has to beat all the guards to do it because he's the good guy.
Yeah, that's what you do if you're the good guy. Beat up the guards.
In the X-ray room as well. I did love that they did it in the X-ray room. That was good. So, Batman still doesn't realise when Joker's like, oh, please do.
Mm-hmm.
He doesn't suspect. No, this is what Joker wants you to do. So he imprisons Joker in the Phantom Zone.
Yeah.
And then he and Robin get put in prison themselves.
Yeah.
And Barbara rightly calls Batman out and says, you're just incredibly selfish. You're a bad hero.
I mean, it's true.
It is true. And then we follow Joker into the Phantom Zone.
Mm-hmm.
And we meet Phyllis. And all the villains who are in this film who I actually stopped trying to count everyone who appears.
Yeah, you can't. There's too many. I think we tried when it first came out. But it's a fun mix of villains from various films and franchises.
Yeah, I mean, there's stuff like... There's,
done in a far better way than Ready Player One.
Don't...
Yeah, see...
Don't.
True, though.
No, we can talk about the incel masturbation fantasy another time. Oh, 10 years ago, I loved that book. But I'm better now. I do love that King Kong's a villain in this.
Yeah, that seems a bit unfair, unless you happen to be a building.
I don't know if it's... Because at first I thought it was also meant to be Godzilla, because I know Warner Bros. Does have the rights to Godzilla in America, but I don't think it is. I think it's a swamp monster or something like that.
Yeah.
Sauron shows up, which was...
Which is great.
When's the last... Have characters from Lord of the Rings and Harry Potter crossed over anywhere else?
Not that I know of, but I don't really track that kind of thing.
Yeah. And Agent Smith shows up as well.
Yeah.
For the Matrix. I mean, that has to be one for the parents. There's no way.
Oh, there's a lot of kids that like Lord of the Rings, but yeah, sure.
No, Matrix, I mean.
Oh, yeah, probably, yeah.
So, Harley Quinn is able to disguise herself as Harleen Quinzel because Arkham Security is garbage. And she is able to get the Phantom Zone projector and open it out so that Joker is able to attack Gotham with his army, including Daleks.
Yeah.
Who immediately attack the Batcave. Joker apparently goes, oh, Batman and Bruce Wayne can't possibly be the same person. They must be roommates. I suppose Joker's never cared who Batman is anyway.
No, not really.
So, we then get a lovely scene where Batman explains that Bruce Wayne gets scared, and the way that he cures it is by beatboxing.
Which is great.
It's a great scene. Barbara then goes, whoa, Batman, we actually do need your help, but I'll only do it if you work with me. And then Robin suits up, and Alfred suits up in the 60s.
Which is lovely.
Which, yeah, is brilliant. And they also mentioned, well, we could use the guys at Arkham as well. To which Batman goes, well, use villains to defeat villains. That's stupid. Which, considering them, I think literally this was being made as Suicide Squad came out. So, because I think it was 2016 that came out. So, the team go to Joker's Island.
Wow. Yeah, that's good.
Yeah, and that doesn't take long for Joker to resort the island into his own personal playground. So Joker must be a master builder as well, then. Because Batman's a master builder in this.
Yes, yes.
We also find out that cats can survive lava.
My cats would tell you they can survive anything.
Yep. And the bat thing that Batman makes then gets attacked by all of Batman's various vehicles and gremlins as well. Batman then leaves the rope to fly the plane whilst he fights gremlins on the bat. Alfred and Robin then start helping him. And Batman then has to save Robin. He fails to save Alfred, but Barbara's able to save them. And then they managed to manipulate the sea monster Godzilla thing to kill Sauron with a fireball.
Yeah.
Which I think is the only real kind of... And they don't kill him, but it's the closest you get to an implied death in this film.
Yeah, yeah, it is. Which is interesting, but... yeah, I mean, it's Lego, so you kind of know that's not, you know...
And it's Sauron, so you know that he's made of tougher stuff.
But also, if you're going to kill someone, then...
Yeah. In celebrating, Robin takes a family picture that looks very similar to the family picture that Bruce has in his house.
Yeah, which is lovely, because Dick's so happy.
And it freaks Batman out.
Yeah, yeah.
Like the second he looks at the pictures, like, whoa, no, no.
Don't like it.
Don't like it. I'm having emotions and feelings and...
Things.
And
can't
and
process.
And the only way he can process it is by tricking all of them into the Batpod and flying them away to keep them safe.
Mm-hmm.
So we then get Batman confronts Joker... And this is, again, the sort of idea of they're playing with a romantic movie trope, except it's like that they hate each other.
Yeah, yeah. But it's really funny. I liked it
a lot. Oh, it's brilliant. And all the villains are like, you don't need him. Go on, Joker.
Yeah, yeah.
And Joker is then able to put Batman into the Phantom Zone. Which is what he wants. And then goes, Joker begins to continue his plan to blow up Gotham City. meanwhile, we follow Batman in the Phantom Zone as he's confronted by Phyllis. And we get to see all the instances of Batman being a bad person in this film.
Yeah.
Which I'm glad they call him out.
Yeah, me too. I mean, like, they should.
Yeah. It's actually nice to see Batman called on his poop for once.
Yeah, yeah.
And meanwhile, we get a little... Batman Begins style switch around, which is a computer decides that whilst it was told to leave... without Batman, Batman never told it not to save him.
Mm-hmm.
Dick Grayson turns into Nightwing.
Yay.
And Alfred and Barbara are being attacked by King Kong.
Because that's why King Kong's in it. You know, you have to have a nice... I mean, they could have had anyone, but that is quite funny.
And as Batman is able to convince Phyllis to let him out of the Phantom Zone to save everyone, so Robin is about to crash, Kong is about to eat Barbara, and Alfred is surrounded by Daleks.
Mm-hmm.
Not Voldemort, which I actually kind of would have found funny.
Yeah.
As a meta thing, but meh. So Batman arrives, helps save the team. Barbara Gordon wants nothing to do with him.
Yeah.
Until Batman apologises and admits that he's afraid of commitment and having a family.
Yeah.
And to say that he needs them, he makes a Barbara signal and a Robin signal and an Alfred signal and a Suicide Squad signal.
Yeah, which is funny.
So we get the villains of Gotham teaming up with our main four heroes. Barbara gets a Batgirl suit.
Yeah.
And our hero team attacks and starts taking out the villains. Including Batman and Robin punching so hard that we enter an Adam West film. Which is brilliant fun.
Yeah, it is.
We get Catwoman and Barbara teaming up to get hold of the Phantom Zone gun. Robin is able to use the shark spray that was hinted at earlier in the film.
Yeah, because you need to... It's important to get the shark spray in.
To be fair, this is the only film that's managed to.
Yeah.
But unfortunately, despite all this, the bomb still goes off. And Batman and the team are unable to hold the city together. So he ends up having to ask Joker for help.
The big moment.
And yeah, Batman and Joker eventually sort out their relationship.
Aww.
And they and the citizens of Gotham are able to create giant towers because they're actually Lego people.
Mm-hmm.
So they plug each other in. And then they pull Gotham City back together. And Joker and Batman hate each other so much.
So much.
And Batman then goes to hand himself back to the Phantom Zone because he promised he would. I don't know, why didn't Joker have to go back?
Joker has no honour. He probably didn't make the... He probably didn't make the commitment. I don't know. He's a baddie. Yeah.
But anyway, so just before Batman does hand himself over to the Phantom Zone, he unmasks and reveals to Robin that I was Bruce Wayne all along!
Oh, and he's like, you're both of my dads at once.
And you're leaving.
I know, you're going away. Call me.
And then he makes... Now, he states specifically... Batgirl and me is platonic.
Yes, thank God. I mean, like, it doesn't matter because you're like, they aged her up and it's not in the same thing, but I did appreciate it still.
Yeah, even though, as I said, even though they actually made it to a point where, no, they are actually equals, no, they are actually...
Yeah, yeah, no, I mean, like, they did everything they could, but I was just like, I find it hard to see them together or consider them together.
And Batman goes back to hand himself into the Phantom Zone, and Phyllis goes, no, you're not a bad guy. You've changed for the better.
Mm.
Hooray.
Yeah.
So we end the film with the Bat family eating lobster and hanging up the family portrait.
Which is lovely. They all know what's suddenly missing in all of their lives.
And snake clowns appear.
And we get great songs.
We get some great songs at the end. Yep. Oh, I've just realised, I forgot. Rosario Dawson is playing Barbara Gordon, which is not the only time that we'll have her voicing a major character.
Yeah, yeah.
So, yeah, that was...
good stuff. And I love those closing songs. I actually have them in my work playlist.
Yeah.
The Dick Grayson song especially.
Obviously. Oh, absolutely.
But it was really funny because just after the film came out, I was going on about how much I loved the music, the songs at the end. And the guy who wrote the Friends of Family.
Yeah.
Started talking to me about it. We were just like chatting back and forth. And it took about like half a day before I realised that he was the guy who'd written Family. And I was like, and because he was like, which one did you like best? And I was like, oh, the Dick Grayson one, but I'm a massive Dick Grayson fan and it's really cute and silly. And I said, but I love the other one as well, like, you know, it's just like such a great, so it was just really funny because, and he was like, oh yeah, the Robin song's fantastic.
Yeah.
And it was just, he was really sweet about it because I was literally saying that his song wasn't my favorite of the two, but yeah, so he was really sweet. So that's my little personal Lego Batman story.
Because most of the soundtrack is by Lorne Balfe, who is was one of the people that came up through the Hans Zimmer studio.
Right. Nice.
Which obviously Hans Zimmer did the Dark Knight films.
Mm-hmm.
Which is appropriate because I went to a Hans Zimmer gig recently, yes. Which was nice. Awesome. He played music from The Dark Knight, from Wonder Woman 84, and from Man of Steel as well.
Nice.
Which was all awesome live. And yeah, so that was the Lego Batman movie.
It's great. If you haven't seen it, watch it. It's great.
And if you're a if you are a Batman fan, you will find something to love in this film. There's so many references.
Yeah, it's great.
So there was meant to be a sequel to this.
Why has it not happened?
Because Universal bought Lego.
The scoundrels. That's villainy of the Joker level.
Yeah, so the film was meant to come out this year as well.
Damn it.
And it was going to be it was going to focus on Batman and Superman.
Oh, that's just painful.
And the villains were going to be Lex Luthor and OMAC.
Oh, that would have been... I mean, I don't love OMAC, but that would have been cool. I like Superman, so...
So that was what was going to happen. It was going to be... Chris McKay was going to direct it again, who's the guy who directed this film.
Yeah.
And also, I believe, is meant to be doing a Nightwing film soon.
Supposed to be, but it's the one we've heard the least about.
Yeah.
So, you know, I'm not holding my breath on that one. We've had, like, casting and at least sort of updates on all the other ones, so...
Yeah, so... That's everything that is to do with that film, and Batman does appear in the second Lego Batman film.
Yeah, he does, but it's not the same.
But that's probably last time that we will see this particular version of Lego Batman. Has there been any Lego... Yeah, the last Lego superhero film that we have is like 2020, which is, I think, when Universal bought in. So that might be why the Lego films come to an end. Jesus. The next film that we've got coming up is a Teen Titans film.
Okay, cool. Which one?
The Judas Contract, which...
Okay,
is...
well, I know the story of that, but I'm not very good on Teen Titans, so...
So, this is a DC AMU film.
Mm-hmm.
So, it's the same Teen Titans that we saw...
Before.
After that, we've got our first film set in the Arrowverse, which is Vixen the Movie.
Oh, yep. Yeah.
Which is the web series strung together to one film.
Yeah, I've watched the first episode of that, so...
Then it's DC Superhero Girls again.
Oh, great.
With Intergalactic Games. I like that in terms of, it brings new heroes in, which we've not seen
elsewhere. No, I like
elsewhere.
It. It's just that, I mean, like, you know, none of us are very... it's not really for us. Like, it's not aimed at us. It's, you know, we're clearly going to find it a little bit silly and childish, but whatever.
Could be worse. The film after that is Batman and Harley Quinn.
Right. Can't wait.
I mean, once we've seen it, we don't have to see it again.
Might be good. Who knows? Unlikely.
Oh, you might... I don't know. You might love it, but...
Unlikely.
I was completely primed to like it, and I didn't, so...
Yeah. Okay, fair.
The only time I've went to see a film for free and felt ripped off.
Mm.
Though that might be because I'm refusing to see Morbius.
Oh, who isn't?
I don't know.
Mm. No one should be watching films with Jared Leto in.
Absolutely not.
But anyway.
Even if they do set up a Sinister Six.
I don't really care.
Oh no, that's what they're trying to do, and it's like, no, it's not going to happen, guys.
Spoilers are everywhere. No one's going to watch. It's supposed to be a terrible film, and it's got Jared Leto, who is...
Well, apparently some people actually believe the reason that the spoilers are being leaked is to try and get people to go.
But they've leaked the whole scene. No one's going to go watch just for that. Anyway,
if you're going to have a whole scene become available, at least make sure you cut it from the movie.
Mm-hmm.
Which I'm actually, do you know what? I am actually glad that they cut that from the movie, because I don't think it would have worked in the film.
I don't know, because I've no intention of seeing the film, and I'm not watching the scene either.
No, I'm talking about the Batman.
I didn't like that either.
I
thought it was horribly ableist, and I'm actually really glad it wasn't in, and I don't want to see that Joker again. I love the actor, but I think that makeup was horrific.
Yeah.
So, but that's for another day. Anyway. Yeah. And now it's. Well, yeah, just come listen to us talk about all these other cool things and let us know what you think about them.
So you will be appearing on some other podcasts whilst this is coming out, because I believe there's a new television series that
I take notes for. Yeah, Moon Knight. Yes. The Into the Night Moon Knight podcast. You'll hear a lot of me. We're doing quick reactions after each episode, and then Ray's doing deeper dives at the weekends. I think I'm skipping those because they're at like midnight for me, but also because about 1,000 people want to be on them. And so that's the one I'm mainly doing. I'm on some Immortal Iron Fist Sons of Dragon as well. We're doing the new comic this week. So
good. And I'm still doing Rise of the Robots, which we are getting through Robot Wars Extreme at the moment. So at this rate, as I said, we will be done in about 6 years' time.
Nice.
Though we've got some very special episodes coming up fairly soon, including we've got two consecutive episodes that we're going to have very special guests, one of whom might be familiar to listeners of this podcast.
Hooray! I'm going to go and show how terrible my knowledge of robots is again.
You'll be fine.
I will say things like that one with the pointy thing, and we all have a laugh. So.
Oh, it could be. At least I've got you as a guest on a nice episode. The other guests that we've got coming in are for the Forces episode, where some terrible robots are built by the Army, the RAF, the Navy.
No.
Yeah. So that's the other episode we've got guests on, so.
I look forward to it.
But anyway, thank you for listening to the CAU podcast. We will be back in 2 weeks' time.
Yep, take care.
Thank you for listening to the DCAU podcast. You can follow us on social media. We are at DCAU podcast on Twitter. Or you can email in to us with either feedback on our show or on the movies we're about to watch at DCAUpodcast@yahoo.com. The DCAU podcast is protected under a Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial Share-Alike 4.0 International License. Thank you for listening.